Ready?
Yep.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Wise Up, episode 9. It's been a tough couple weeks here in Wise County. Had a pretty tragic event happen over the weekend on Sunday. Dr. Heath Smith and his two sons, two of his sons, ages 6 and 8, they were killed in a plane crash. I'll let you speak on this a little bit more. You guys talked to some people that were close to him and his family, but, you know, was a surgeon, used his gifts as a surgeon, served on the Paradise ISD school board. Just all around great guy, from what I, you know, got to witness interacting with him a little bit. You want to speak to kind of some people in his circle that you talked to?
Yeah. I spoke with Holly Berry, who was, Dr. Smith's, teacher and growing up, and then, you know, became a coworker. And, you know, some things I learned was just how brilliant he was. Yeah. From an early age, seemingly could have, you know, pretty much advanced up to high school from like the elementary level, but was, you know, I think his brother Landon Smith was a few grades older and he was taking classes with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just a brilliant guy and like a really like talented person that chose, like, he probably could have worked, you know, been a surgeon at any hospital. He chose to, you know, live in Paradise and serve this area. So, kind of interesting on multiple levels, you know, his passion for his community. And, you know, we see that through his service on the school board. And, this was his home and he wanted to be here. And, lost, you know, two of his sons as well. It's just a really tough story. And, your heart goes out to this Paradise community. He's really been through so much the last few years.
Three school age children have been killed in the last 16 months, a year and a half. They've been through a ton. Have some good resources, fortunately, in Wise County that can, you know, try to help them along a little bit. Beverly Ross and Wise County Christian Counseling, they were out at Paradise Elementary on Tuesday, I believe, talking to, you know, parents and teachers and, you know, students, trying to help them work through this. And, you know, the community always rallies around events like this. And I hate that has to happen. You know, you never, right, never want it to happen. But, Wise County always shows up. You know, whatever allegiance you have, wherever you live, it doesn't really matter in times like this, which is good because Paradise really, really needs it right now.
Yeah. And talk with Beverly, you know, first it was striking just to, I never really kind of put two and two together, but like those third grade students, you know, have worked with those grief counselors three times now.
Yeah.
It's just tough. But one thing I thought was, you know, interesting from talking with Beverly was just that, like, on this trip, they're like, okay, we know that we're going to have to kind of go back, not just to continue because in the past, because they've kind of been here before, they know what it's like to go through this grieving process, and it's not like a one-time your right. fix kind of thing. It's something you got to live through, and there'll be challenges along the way. And Wise County Christian Counseling is committed to going back occasionally to help out. And they had I think she called it a comfort room, and this time around she just said it was, you know, a constant stream of students and teachers that were going in there to talk or share, just kind of sit there and reflect. For Paradise, such a great small town. And I think the reaction you see is part of why Dr. Smith wanted to live there and raise his family there.
Yeah, can't say how big of a loss this is. Keep the Smith family, you know, in your thoughts. And, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can help them. I think a big local one that's coming up that I hope is a good turnout, Paradise Nutrition and Energy on Saturday. They're giving 50% of all their profits to the Smith family to kind of help them out. So encourage you all to support local business and support the Smith family by showing up there on Saturday.
Yeah. And then another kind of weighty topic, I guess. We went to the Lost Battalion Memorial Highway dedication ceremony, basically, at Weatherford College, Wise County. And, you know, like, we've probably heard these stories 100 times working here, just covering the, you know, the Lost Battalion room, you know, just the various, like, the reunions and stuff. But, you know, it never fails to, like, get me what those guys went through.
Yeah, especially when you see the descendants of the Lost Battalion. I mean, there was one part in the dedication ceremony where I think Kerry Clower asked everyone that was a descendant to stand up. And, you know, all across the – we were in a lecture hall at Weatherford College, Wise County. So many people stood up and, you know, familiar faces in the community that maybe you didn't know. But, you know, Randy Singleton and Kevin Burns, you know, they're sons of Lost Battalion members. And you could tell when they were speaking on it, really emotional day for them and emotional day for all of us, I think, to some extent. It was super cool to see.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing that came out of that was what Kevin Burns said, Precinct 2 Commissioner. And he basically, so first off, to reset, they're pretty soon we'll have signage up on 380 between Decatur and Jacksboro that'll officially make that stretch of roadway the Lost Battalion Memorial Highway. It's something that was accomplished through some recent legislation. You know, Senator Tam Parker, Representative Lynn Stuckey, Representative David Spiller, you know, pushed that through and started probably with an effort locally with County Judge J.D. Clark and others who wanted to find some way to you know, remark on that, on their sacrifice and, you know, the harrowing conditions. And just there are, like, Wise County heroes, honestly. Right. But what Kevin Burns said was he just thought how fitting it was that it was going to be on that stretch of 380 because, you know, most of the Lost Battalion members were either, you know, from Wise County or Jack County. And he said they basically tore that road up. You know, they kept it hopping because they would, after they came home, you know, after 42 months in captivity and, you know, building a railway.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were a part of each other's lives until the end. And they were friends and brothers, and they were always going to see each other. So I thought that was cool. And obviously, Mayor Singleton's, you know, had some kind of funny stories. His father lost his leg during his time. And, you know, I forgot what
he said. Well, it's, I have an advantage, something along that. I have an advantage when I go to Jack County because I'm 50% less likely to get bit by a rattlesnake.
Right. You know, and, you know, I'm sure those are just like, there's such a small fraction of the, you know, the boys' stories, yeah. You know, like the, you know, the jokes, that kept those dudes, that kept, gave them hope, that gave them kind of a reason to keep going while they're, you know, it's like you just got your leg amputated by a crude instrument.
Yeah.
And you're now, you know, like, there's no medical care really. So, like, if you survive, you survive. If not, like, no big deal. Like, that was kind of the, you know, situation they were in. And then they're put to work after that. So, you know, that's what I've always heard is just kind of how those guys, you know, just their bond, really gave them kind of the help, give them the courage to see it through. And now they, you know, when they came home, they were like continued to serve the community.
Yeah. I think what did, Randy's dad worked with the VA, right?
I think it was the VSO, okay. Veteran Service Office. I think it might've been like the county's first.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he was, you know, office out of the courthouse. And you know, he took his service when he came back was trying to make sure veterans here were taken care of. So you can really trace a lot of people that are making an impact today to those Lost Battalion members, whether they be family members or people that were impacted by them. So definitely one of the cooler parts of Wise County history for sure.
Yeah, and you can see, you know, we got some photos on Facebook and in the paper of that event, but the mock signs that they unveiled at the ceremony, those are being taken to the Bridgeport Historical Museum.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an awesome museum there, you know, a lot of cool military history. And so I think those signs are going to be there. So if you want to get a, you know, a glimpse at what is going to be out on 380 coming up, then, you know, give them a visit there. And, you know, it's always cool talking to those guys that, you know, have descendants or that served and have a little bit more inside look to kind of the camaraderie and brotherhood of, you know, being in the military in tough situations like that. So exactly. Super cool.
And I think the whole point is, you know, somebody driving through might have no idea what the Lost Battalion is. Now when they're driving through, they'll go, you know, see that sign, maybe look it up.
Yeah.
You know? And that history, you know, will continue through just that curiosity. I think that was a large, you know, kind of driving theme of the ceremony, was just making sure that history stays alive.
Also, when we were out at Weatherford College, Lawrence County, got a really cool icicles hanging off a bush or a tree photo.
It was a tough. It's hard to capture cold in a photo
when there, especially when there's like
there's no snow.
Precipitation.
So when you're like trying to do stories on the weather, we had to get like a little creative with that one. I think they might have left a sprinkler on. Yeah. Honestly. We had a really long cold stretch here,
dipping into single digits, you know, staying in the 20s and teens a lot. I'll say I live relatively close to the courthouse.
Doxing yourself.
But I had ice in my bathtub multiple days because it was so cold whenever I was leaving the water running. So kind of puts it in perspective a little bit. I slept in a sleeping bag too.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of folks were without power. Tough scene. I think, you know, even, you know, in our office, we had people babysitting pipes.
Right.
Taking shifts with the space heater, basically, to monitor, to make sure, you know, some of their pipes didn't end up freezing. Luckily, it wasn't nearly at the level of 2021 when we had, like, actual ice and snow and those single-digit temperatures that were just insane. So hopefully we're kind of past it.
Warmed up a little bit today. I think we're getting back down below freezing, coming up with some pretty gnarly wind chill. But we learned. We learned over this past weekend. And Encore, you know, they took care of a lot of, like, the electrical issues. I mean, shout out to those guys. I know it's, you know, it's not great when, you know, it's 9 degrees outside and you have to have some equipment replaced, but those Encore dudes are out there. braving the elements, working to get that replaced. Yeah. So,
all hours of the night.
Yeah, shout out to those guys.
First responder status?
Second responder.
Okay.
For sure. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a thankless job. And people only notice when their power's out, you know. they don't get thanked for when the power's on.
Right.
I mean, it could have been a lot worse. There were some situations where, you know, we had some nursing homes that may have had to like go to a warming center or something if they didn't act so quickly and kind of meet that time frame that they originally set out. And I don't mean it's a bad situation to be without power and when it's so cold like this. But thankfully they got it back on.
And I am keeping my promise. If we do have some crazy snow or ice or inclement weather coming up, I will be live on the scene. I didn't have the opportunity yet, but I promise I will be, and Austin will be here with me.
Okay, all right.
Enough of that riveting weather talk.
Yeah.
Let's throw it to your favorite Wise County sports segment with our esteemed sports editor, Mike McCartney, for the Mike A Minute.
Mike.
Hi, welcome back to the Mike A Minute, talking about sports. Got UIL going to be announcing the new districts in about 2 weeks, February 1st. Decatur Swim is going to be at the district swim meet on Saturday at Fit and Wise. Good luck to y'all. Got a lot of kids that went to state last year, brought home the first state relay state championship, and we're hoping to bring home more relays and some individual state medals as well. Shout out to Decatur girls for the big win over Crum in district play Tuesday night. Boys suffered their first district loss. They're going to get back on track. Got powerlifting going on right now. A lot of teams had their first meet last week. Soccer's in the middle of tournament play, kind of rounding out tournament play. So good luck to y'all this weekend. Boyd Yellow Jackets, number one in 3A baseball after winning the 2023 state title. So congratulations to y'all. And thanks for listening to the Mike A Minute.
Thank you, Micah, for that important sports update.
Can't believe you fit it all into 1 minute again, third week in a row.
Impressive.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, so speaking of important contests, got some contested races. The filing period for the May election has opened. And already kind of seeing an interesting Decatur school board race. I think six have filed so far. We got some contested races. Interesting to see Police Chief Delvin Campbell throwing his hat in the ring.
Yeah, got some big local names that are going to get in the mix, I think.
Right. So he has filed for place. Place five, got Matt Joyner filing for place six. Those are two. Those aren't incumbents. Nate Bayless for place seven. And then Holly Ann Petrie, John Bradley Rieger, and Dylan Barnes have also filed. So if you want to serve on a city council or school board, file.
Yeah, for sure.
See, now is your time.
I think like one of the biggest ways you can, you know, impact your, if you want to get in like the political realm, I mean, doing something locally that has a direct effect and impact, you know, come to making budgets and, you know, kind of curriculum and stuff like that. So yeah, if you want to get involved, it's a great way to serve.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll learn a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, so you know, that's exciting. We'll have our, big filing update story in our next paper. You know, I'm sure we got some more races that have already seen some action, but shout out to Decatur SC for posting those so we know about them without having to call a city secretary.
Helps us out a lot.
But yeah, what else we got?
I think our third contested race type thing, Reader's Choice.
Oh.
Still in the paper.
Maybe the most important election held in January?
The
in
most.
Wise County?
I'll say it now. It yeah. is. But yeah, again, you know, still pick up those ballots. Buy a ton. Vote for all your favorite places that you've been to. Write legibly, of course. Know the name of the business. We still have until January 31st, Wednesday. That's a Wednesday at 5 p.m. to turn in those ballots. And remember, that is a hard deadline. So buy a bunch of papers, fill those ballots out, get those turned in.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to your weekend in Fort Worth?
Yeah, going to the big city this weekend. Saturday, going to the Fort Worth Stock Show. A ton of local Wise County kids are going to be out there. You know, got several from Decatur ISD, got some kids from VCA. I know for sure. I'm sure they're, you know, Bridgeport and Paradise and all those kids. It's a big deal. I've been to the rodeo once, like 10 years ago, but I've never been to the actual stock show part
That's
of it.
Crazy.
So I've been to youth fair, got a like small glimpse of what that looks like.
Different.
But is that, that's probably
it's
a
like
nothing.
Thousands and thousands of kids showing animals.
I did learn that at livestock shows, the animals are not in cages.
Yeah.
I was really surprised to find that out at youth fair. So I'm more acclimated. You know, I'm a real cowboy now.
I mean, I don't know if y'all could tell. You know, we weren't in ag growing up.
If it wasn't obvious enough. Although he does have some nice boots on.
Yeah. but yeah, I think that was always a culture shock. I mean, at least when I started working here, it was covering like, youth fair and then covering stuff like the stock.
It's like a steer show. Brushes up against you while you're like hanging over the arena. Yeah, right. Or like, you know, a 7-year-old kid with a 2-ton animal that's just like leading them around.
And they just let like, we're taking pictures of something, we'll just get hop in the arena with like some hogs.
Right.
They're just getting like brushed back a little. Wrong word.
A lead. I think. A lead.
We're tapping them.
Yeah.
And that's all. I mean, those kids got some showmanship. You know, they got some skills with that thing.
But it is always cool to see, like, I think it's like a very generational thing.
Yeah.
Youth fair and, you know, stock show. I can't even imagine how many, you know, fourth and like fifth generation kids are out there. So I'm excited for my first time. A little bit nervous. I'm going to try to fit in. I have a pair of boots that I'll wear. I'll probably stick out like a sore thumb, but I'm excited, and I know our Wise County kids are excited too, and they're gonna bring home a ton of awards.
Gonna wear your Carhartt hat?
I do have a Carhartt hat. I don't know, wear some flared jeans or something.
Yeah, like a North Texas smoke hat or something.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'll fit right
blend in. Yeah. So, for stock show, good luck, kids.
Yeah, I think that is all we have for today's episode of Wise Up. Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.